Hear now these words that come to us from the third chapter of Luke's Gospel. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came down from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. May the Lord our God bless these words to our hearts and our lives and our living. Amen.
Now on December 26th, I preached a sermon based on Matthew 2, 1 through 12. It's a story of the Magi, the three wise men. The message is about get up and go. But I want to begin today by reading the prophecy that is foretold of the wise men from Isaiah. It says, Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, and the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. That is the prophecy that foretold the coming of the Magi, and those are the passages that are the basis for the sacred day we Christians call Epiphany. Epiphany, Feast of Epiphany, the Three Kings Day. It's a Christian holiday commemorating the first manifestation of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles who are represented by the Magi. Epiphany is 12 days after Christmas, and that means every year Epiphany falls on January 6th. But all week we've heard that we must remember January 6th for another reason, because of what happened that day in the Capitol. We must remember this January 6th because of the awful things that happened in Washington, D.C. And I don't care what your political stripe is. I don't care who you supported for president. I don't care what your perspective is about what happened. Violence and bodily harm, death are not good. It's not right. It's awful and it's horrendous. As Christians, we cannot allow the ongoing memory of what happened in the national capital on that January 6th, a commemoration of those violent actions, to desecrate the holy day of the church, to take away our remembrance of Epiphany, to blot out the significance of that day known as Epiphany. Okay, I'm going to stop there before I get myself in too deep over my head. Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God is going to trouble these waters. That song relates to both the Old and the New Testament. The verses reflect the Israelites' escape out of Egypt, as found in Exodus 14. But the chorus refers to the healing. If you look in John 5:4, for an angel went down at a certain season into a pool of troubled and troubled the water, whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Many internet resources and popular books claim that songs such as Wade in the Water contained explicit instructions to fugitive slaves on how to avoid capture and to route to take to successfully make their way to freedom. An example of this is cited in the book Pathways to Freedom, Maryland and the Underground Railroad. The book explains how Harriet Tubman used the song Wade in the Water to tell escaping slaves to get off the trail and into the water to make sure that the dogs employed by the slavers lost their trail. Our gospel lesson today is the baptism of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke. It is often the case that the first Sunday of Epiphany is the Sunday to direct our focus on the baptism of Jesus. The passage that marks the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. The passage that validates Jesus as the Son of God. And the passage that gives to us the sacrament of baptism. The passage is the first time we see the power of water and the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Now, John the Baptist, main character here, one of the main characters, he's cousin of Jesus, we remember, son of Elizabeth. Remember, he leapt in his mother's womb when the pregnant Mary came to visit. He's a preacher and a teacher and a baptizer and rumored to be the Messiah by some, although he flatly denied that. Baptism was a ritual cleansing the unclean individuals. Usually in the temple, but other places as well. In the temple by the priests, but there were other holy men like John who also baptized, and they preached about turning from sin to be repentant. Now, King Duncan writes about the movie Brother, Where Art Thou? And many of you may have seen that movie. It's a whimsical retelling of Homer's Odyssey set in the 1930s in Mississippi. Three escaped convicts, Everett, Pete, and Delmar, are hiding in the woods and running from the law. And they come upon this group of people who are in white robes and are walking towards a lake to be baptized. And they move toward the water. They sing, "Let's go down to the river and pray." As the baptism ceremony begins, Delmar is overwhelmed by the beauty and the mystery of this rite. He runs into the water and is baptized by the minister, and as he returns to his companions, he declares that he is now saved and neither God nor man's got nothing on me now. He explains that the minister has told him that all his sins have been washed away. Even, he says, when he stole the pig for which he had been convicted. "But you said you were innocent of that," one of his fellow convicts exclaimed. "I lied," he said, "and that's been washed away too." "But you said you..." But later, the three convicts steal hot pie from somebody's windowsill. And the one who felt that his sins had been washed away returns and places a dollar bill on the windowsill. Now, Delmar was not made perfect by his baptism, any more than any of the rest of us are made perfect by our baptism. But he was conscious that it was time for him for a new beginning. That is why in understanding baptism, we begin with the washing away of our sins. The baptism of Jesus is different. Why? One, because the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the other is the validation of Jesus as the Son of God. God spoke after he was baptized. Now, John assures people another one is coming. John the Baptist says another one is coming. And then Jesus appears. John baptizes Jesus. The Holy Spirit descends a form of dove, and then God speaks. The presence of the Holy Spirit changes the meaning and the power of baptism. Not only is there a cleansing power of the water, but there is a life-giving power of the Holy Spirit, a new life. When we are baptized, we die with Christ and are raised again. When we are baptized, we die to our self-centered, self-serving lives. Paul Peterson tells a story. He says, those who are baptized in Jesus do not need to strive after a new life. They've already attained a new life through dying with Christ. But they do need to nurture that new life so it can grow and mature. And that's what the church is for. That's what Bible study is for. That's what prayer is for. It's like the parable of the sower. Many of those seeds sprouted up, but did not grow to maturity. Only a few did. The rest withered and died. There was a wealthy businessman who was horrified to see a fisherman sitting beside his boat playing with a small child. "Why aren't you out fishing?" asked the businessman. And the fisherman answers, "Because I caught enough fish for one day." "Well, why don't you catch some more?" "What would I do with them?" the fisherman said. "Well, you could earn more money," said the businessman, "and then the extra could buy a bigger boat, go into deeper waters, and catch more fish. And then you would make enough money to buy nylon nets. And with the nets, you could catch even more fish and make more money. And with that money, you could own two boats or maybe three boats. And eventually, you could have a whole fleet of boats and be rich like me." "Then what do I do?" asked the fisherman. "Well, then," said the businessman, "you could really enjoy life." And the fisherman looked at the businessman quizzically and said, "What do you think I'm doing now?" The baptism of Jesus is dying to our self-centered endeavors and being resurrected into a life marked by grace and love. When we live in baptism of Jesus, we touch the hearts of others and help open them to the Holy Spirit and the new life in Christ. So the question, are you living and growing in a new life you have been given? That's what the church is for. Whether baptized as a child, youth, or an adult, the church is here to nurture the faith. The church is here to provide for spiritual growth. The church is not here to be a place where obligations might be fulfilled or a place where habit can be attended to. This is a place where the teachings of Jesus are learned. This is a place where the examples of Jesus are followed. This is a place where the expectations of Jesus are met. This is a place where the models of ministry of Jesus are carried out. This is a place where a new life in Christ is nurtured. There is a great power in the confluence of water and the Holy Spirit. A cleansing power, a life-changing power, a power we sometimes need to be reminded of. And the validation of Jesus as the Son of God occurs in the baptism of Jesus with water and the Holy Spirit. And at our baptism, there is a validation of our newness and our goodness. Through baptism, God cleanses us and us. Like Delmar, God calls us to wade into the waters of new life. Amen.